For those that need to be excused to a class, now would be the time to go. You know, one of these nights I think I need to teach a little bit about offerings. Did you know that there's different kinds of offerings in the Bible? There really is a clap offering, there's a wave offering, there's a lot of different kinds. And we really need to maybe talk about that sometime. Thank you, Lord. Can we give a hand to our praise team? I mean, the worship team is awesome. They're doing a great job. If we could only get Ben to connect with him, it'd be great. Awesome. Awesome stuff, really. It's great to see it. You know, there's been so much stuff going on, and we're getting close to the elections, and a lot of different stuff is happening. And we're seeing the Holy Spirit move. We saw it tonight. For those that don't understand that may be watching online or perhaps somebody that's here, what you saw was somebody speaking in a heavenly language and then someone else interpreting what was said. And that's biblically the way it's supposed to happen, where one gives the word and the other gives the interpretation. The majority of the time, that's the way it will take place. But the Holy Spirit, I've seen him touch lives earlier today, throughout the day, and even tonight, even before the service started. So praise God for what he's doing. But when we're looking at how we're making decisions in life and the things that we're dealing with, we got to be careful about getting caught up with the emotions. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, is emotions. I really firmly believe that's what the Lord is showing me. Because, you know, we all have emotions. I have emotions, you have emotions, we all have emotions. But none of us were born to be like Mr. Spock on Star Trek, unemotional and dry. It was a good part he played, but unfortunately there are too many people in life that try to act that way. And that is not what God has called you to do. We are supposed to be relating to one another and connecting with one another, not being disconnected, dry, and unemotional. But even though I'm talking about not being too emotional and dry, I also want to caution that that doesn't give us the right to be an emotional volcano either, because it seems people are on one extreme or the other. You get the ones that want to be extremely dry, and then you get these ones that want to be like a volcano, ready to erupt. And it's almost like they're looking for an excuse, and if they can't find one, they'll make one. And both of those are extremes, and they're both wrong. That's not how God designed us. That's not what his intentions were. God did give us emotions. Those aren't something that we invented. God gave us emotions. We laugh, we cry, we get angry, we get filled with joy. But our emotions can get us into trouble, too, if we're not careful. Especially if we're dealing with difficult people or difficult situations. We got to be careful. Emotions are a part of our everyday life, and we need to be led by peace when making decisions. Not angry and making a decision in the heat of the anger. Or being so overjoyed that you're giddy and you're making a decision that you might regret later on, because you're caught up in the emotions of the moment. Don't let your emotions make your decisions. Wisdom says wait. Emotions says hurry. I'm caught up in the moment. We got to do this now. But wisdom says wait. In Galatians 5, verses 18 to 24, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissension, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. It isn't strange for God to understand that humans have emotions. I'll give you an example. We're shown in John 11, verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. So God understands emotions. Some people try to use them as a tool. They try to manipulate and control situations. If I'm angry enough, you won't mess with me. Or if I honey up to you, you're just going to want to do what I want you to do. Those are violations of the emotions that God gave us. They're wrong. That's not the way we're supposed to be doing things. The Bible tells us that all of our emotions, whether happy, sad, worry, or etc., should be brought to prayer by God. All of our emotions should be brought to prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I'll say that again. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I remember when I was young, I remember there were some people that you would hang around with, they'd say, well, if you're not getting angry and you're not doing whatever, what's wrong with you? But when I got a little bit older and started reading the Word of God, it talks about when you were young, you did those foolish things. But once you reached a certain age, you're supposed to come into maturity. And you should have those things under control. So somebody that's got a temper is not somebody to brag about, because they're going against the will of God. We need to do this with all our emotions. All of them need to be covered with prayer. Because sometimes our emotions can warp our sense of right and wrong. And it can affect innocent people that can be hurt and bad decisions that can be made in various ways. Let me give you a simple little example. Have you ever bought something because you were caught up in the moment? And then you wished you had thought a little more before you made that decision. Yeah, I should have bought that truck instead of the carpet for the wife. Have you ever seen someone that's hurt over an assumption because someone didn't take time to get the facts straight? It happens all the time. You see it on the news, you hear it with your friends. So it's important that we're praying over all of our emotions, those that get us overly excited and those that want to take us down a trail that we shouldn't go in our anger and our frustration and our hurt. Our emotions are too closely connected to what we want or what we think we need or an attitude about someone in that moment, whether positive or negative. Take it to God first, then act, or not act according to prayerful wisdom. It's amazing how when you stop and you take that moment to pray about something, whether it's something you're excited about or something that you're angry about or you're caught up in the moment about, when you take that moment to pray, it's amazing how you start to calm down and settle down and see things a little differently. And God gives you wisdom and direction. He truly does. Proverbs 15, verse 18. Proverbs 15, verse 18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. I've seen it as recently as today, where somebody starts to get all stirred up and somebody else starts to respond to them and starts to get angry back at them. But by stepping in with a quiet word and bringing calmness to the situation, it changed the whole atmosphere that was starting to go south in a hurry. In Genesis, we see Adam and Eve, they wanted to be more like God, and they allowed their emotions of the moment to negatively affect their judgment. They were doing it for what they thought was a positive reason, because they just wanted to be more like God. But they had negative intentions because they were going someplace they were not supposed to go. And again, in Genesis, we learn about how Cain's jealousy of Abel led to the murder of his brother. Cain had negative intentions there. One was just trying to be more like God, but they were just doing it in a wrong way. And the other one was a murderer. Either way, the emotions were taking them to where they shouldn't be. Our emotions can be the fire that leads us to success or what leads us to our downfall. That's why we need godly wisdom, not our emotions making our decisions. Because somewhere along the line, even if you think you're getting some success with your emotions, at some point in time, you will fall. It will happen. Proverbs 25, verse 28. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. When you're using your emotions instead of godly wisdom, it's like you just left the gates open for anyone or anything to come through them. And that's not what we're called to do. Left to our emotions, we can get caught up in the news. We get all excited and angry or whatever, or people's attitudes, whether you're overly excited or overly negative and allow it to get caught up in things. God has cautioned us about this possibility. In Colossians 2, verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and earthly deceit. According to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. You see it happening in the news. You see it happening with advertising, where they try to get you caught up in the emotion of, you want to look younger, ladies, you need to use this makeup. You want to feel younger, guys, you need to buy this vehicle. You know, they play on your emotions. Politicians, they're going to be playing on your emotions big time for the next few weeks. Elections are coming. People that you haven't even seen or heard of for the last couple of years all of a sudden are going to come out of the walls. And they're going to be working on your emotions. This person's no good for this reason. That person's no good for that reason. I'm the one you want. Ta-da. They're playing on your emotions. Use godly wisdom, whether it's in your voting or in your decisions, other decisions. Let me give you a few scriptures. These are just a few. There are many, but this is just a few that will help you with controlling your emotions. First of all, we need to remove bitterness from our heart. We have to remove bitterness from our heart. Ephesians 4, verse 31. Ephesians 4, 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. If you think you're going to go around and be this angry, bitter person and you're going to hear from God, you're wrong. Another thing is work on forgiving others. Sometimes that's easy to do, and sometimes that's really, really hard to do. But you need to forgive others. Ephesians 4, verse 22. Ephesians 4, 22. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Think about some of the things you've done in your own life. You don't have to admit it to somebody else, but just think about it. God forgave you. We need to forgive others. and lift the gloom from your heart. You can't walk around like gloomy Gus all the time. Ephesians 11:10. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. There's a time to walk around going through some of those emotions. You have a loved one that passed away or some serious situation in a family, and you can be a little bit, but you're not supposed to stay there. We're supposed to be mature enough that at some point in time we're able to pick up and move on, and God will help us to do that. And sometimes that's not easy, depending on how serious the thing is that's got you down. But there are some people who don't really have a good reason for walking around like gloomy Gus, but it gets them attention. Oh, you poor so-and-so. And so they play it. That's manipulation. That's not godly. Another thing we need to do is to remove murmuring from our lips. Remove murmuring from our lips. Philippians 2, verses 13 to 15. Philippians 2, verses 13 to 15. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. And believe me, we're living in a perverse generation. We are seeing things that even a few years ago I wouldn't have believed. It's crazy. But we're supposed to be the light shining in this world. And instead of going around murmuring and complaining and gossiping, we need to be lifting up Jesus Christ and telling people there is another way. And we can actually walk through this world, and we can be lifting up and even be smiling when some other people aren't, because the Holy Spirit is there to help carry us through everything that we're walking through. Another thing we need to do is erase stubbornness from your heart. Fortunately, that's one I never had trouble with. I was never stubborn. Well, maybe once or twice. A day. Thank you. She's being modest about it. Romans 2, verses 5 and 6. Romans 2, verses 5 and 6. But in accordance with your hardness and your impertinent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. If we want something saved up for when we're standing before the Lord, this is not one we want. Because you're saving stamps for God's wrath. When you're stubborn and won't bow to the will of the Lord and treat people the way you're supposed to treat them. And don't allow the emotion of fear to rule you. And with all the wars and rumors of wars and people talking about, is this the end times and all the other stuff that's going on, I'm just going to repeat that. Don't allow the emotion of fear to rule you. We should never make a decision out of fear. Never. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We can't hide from him. We can try to hide from ourselves, but we can't hide from him. Think on good things and don't dwell on negative thinking. That doesn't mean that you don't admit when there's something bad going on in your life. Nobody's talking about walking around in denial. I've heard some preachers that do that, and they say, oh, well, you can't confess that. That left me a little confused because I thought I read somewhere where we're supposed to confess our sins one to another. How can I do that if I'm not admitting that there's this problem? So I don't agree with that philosophy. You have to think on things that are good. It says don't dwell. It didn't say deny. It said don't dwell on them. You recognize that there's something there you've got to deal with. And then you start looking to God, His scriptures, through prayer, and through the support of brothers and sisters in Christ to help you through that time when it's a little bit difficult. And we need to stop slandering one another. Stop slandering. James 4:11. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but you're a judge. So we need to be very careful when we're slandering. It's not a place you want to go. We don't need to be talking bad about one another. If we see somebody's making an error, we need to go and lift them up and encourage them, not slander them. Have a grateful heart. Luke 12, verse 15. Have a grateful heart. And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the thing he possesses. Some people get caught up in their possessions. I was around some people recently, and it doesn't matter where the money came from that they got recently, but all of a sudden he's got a brand new truck and she's got a brand new Mercedes and they're making this trip overseas and all this other stuff is going on. And all this, they're caught up in all this stuff. And one of the family pulls in the driveway and it says Lucifer. Lucifer with a B in front of it on his license plate. Things are not going to get you where you want to go. You might temporarily get there. You might temporarily get to a place that you want to go, but ultimately, you're not going to like where it's going to take you. It's nice to have things, but don't get caught up in that. We need to remove pride from our life. Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. First comes pride, then comes the fall. We've got to be a little bit careful about, you know, it's good to be proud of our children, our grandchildren, or our spouse. It's good to be have a certain amount of pride in what maybe your church is doing or some good things that you see happening. That's one kind of pride. But there's another pride, the bigger one that people want to go to where I'm pride, I am who I am, blah, blah, blah. They take it to a place where you shouldn't go. When you start getting too proud of this or that or yourself, you got to be, that doesn't mean you should be ashamed of yourself. That's not what I'm saying. We need to be grateful for who we are and thankful for who we are in Christ. We just got to be careful with this pride thing that we don't start making an idol, whether it's of ourselves or something. Idols will get you in trouble every time. When we're dealing with difficult people, Jesus showed us how to respond. Because the fact of the matter is, we're not going to get through life without dealing with difficult people. He showed us authority under control, and he did use rebuke when necessary. That's in John 8:47. But he also deals with difficult people by remaining silent. That's in Mark 10, verses 2 and 3. And at times, he even used telling a story to deal with somebody that was being difficult. That's in Luke 7, verses 40 to 42. So he took a lot of different avenues with how he dealt with people according to the situation. We are cautioned not to let pride interfere with our judgment. That's Romans 12:3. Romans 12:3. And Ephesians 5, verse 15 tells us to look carefully how we walk, not as unwise, but wise. You need to take an honest look at ourselves. Am I walking in the way Christ would want me to walk? And sometimes we don't take an honest look at ourselves. We think we're doing okay. But sometimes if you just stop and do a little gut check and take an honest look, a little bit longer look than maybe you've been taking, you start to realize, you know what? I'm starting to drift to the left or the right here. I need to get myself back on the center of the path. As we seek the Lord's guidance, rather than being guided by our emotions, we can accomplish that. Allowing our emotions to control us is not godly. It's not godly behavior when we're just reacting out of our emotions. But denying or condemning our emotions is not godly either. We have emotions. We have fear. We have anger. We have hurt. We have the pain of loss. And we need to admit those. We need the input of the Word of God and the guidance of the Holy Spirit to overrule our emotions, whether it's making personal decisions or responding to difficult people. There have been times when I've wanted to handle things a certain way, and it probably would have made some things happen. But the truth of the matter is, was that what God wanted? It's always better to say, okay, Lord, this is a good thing, but should I get involved in it? Lord, I don't like what's going on over here. I really want to do something about it. Well, the first thing you need to do about it is pray. God will do more than we can ever do. So we need to seek his guidance. So don't allow your emotions to rule your decisions. I've seen people that have gone so far in debt because every time their emotion said we need a more expensive house or a bigger car or a boat or something else, and they just buried themselves in debt. But there's also people that have gone to jail that are in prison right now because their emotions took them to a place where maybe it cost somebody their life or something else happened. For most that aren't in that extreme, your emotions can cost you friends, relationships. It can interfere with your walk with the Lord. So I just implore you, don't allow your emotions to make that final decision. When you're starting to feel that coming on, whether it's extremely good or extremely bad or someplace in between, the scripture I gave you said, take it all to prayer. And that's what we need to do. Because when we give it to God, what he's going to give back to us is better than we could ever ask for. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father God, I pray that the word came across the way you desired it. I pray, Lord, that we truly heard you. And no matter when I ever speak, I always apply the word to myself first before I ever try to share it with someone else. Lord, help us to all walk circumspectly before you, to honor you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.